thank you once again for joining us for episode 142 of Riding Through the Ages, a revolving journey through the eras of Kamen Rider. I am Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
Today we will be in episode 35 of Kamen Rider Kuga, entitled Emotion. It aired on October 8th, 2000. It was written by Naohisa Arakawa and directed by Hidenori Ishida. So you remember what happened at the end of the last episode?
Yeah, vaguely.
He's about ready to kill the guy.
Yeah.
This is like the worst cliffhanger they've had.
Yeah. And so we know it's not going to happen.
Because, yeah.
Like every other about to finish the guy cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
It's like every time you're about to die, obviously that doesn't happen because it's a cliffhanger. And so obviously you're not going to kill this guy because you need the villain for the whole next episode.
Right. I don't know. I would love it if they just subvert expectations and he totally just
blows up right afterwards.
And the rest is just wrapping up with the entire rest
of the episode is just going and to every family member of the dead children.
Yeah.
Right.
While also
this is a really depressing episode.
Uh-huh. No, crying. No. It's too soon. I got that son of a bitch.
Yes. But yeah, so
I do want to know, like, how it's like, how is it going up into their brain without them feeling it, and it only kills them after it enlarges? Like, how did you get that? Like, because even when he pulled out, like, the little, like, you see the little thing.
Yeah.
Like, just that would kill you.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'm confused.
As, like, how it's actually working.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's, like, oh, it hits, and then it releases particles that then grow, or I don't know.
But. Yeah. It's a, and, like, they sort of, to the point where, like, they could not say anything more about how he's choosing them.
Yeah.
But there could be a whole other level to it.
Yeah.
It's just, like,
yeah, because the verbiage was kind of confusing as far as the transfer student was concerned, and it being like, how does that work in the game?
Yeah,
and then at the same time, like what if you were to quit the class, would that still count?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
you transferred.
Yeah, you miss one. So yeah, that's just it. Okay, so like, he wasn't part of the class. You missed out being able to kill one because they killed themselves. So now you're short a guy, but you still killed the whole class. And then a new guy comes in, so it's like, oh, now I have a second opportunity to finish the job. Yeah, you get my point. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, I guess we're getting loosey-goosey with the rules here.
We don't really know the rules. That's the thing. It's like, if they don't explain the rules, it's just like, eh?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, if they don't use it, I mean, they're grungy, so the rules are weird to begin with.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
Somehow it's fair that this lady had to kill everybody based on, Moonlight Sonata or something like that?
Yeah, and song.
And some song, but this guy's just motorcycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow that's equally hard.
Yeah. Okay, so do they declare their own, or is it declared for them? Like,
yeah, I'm not sure.
Did he comes up and be like, yeah, I'm just going to kill 99 people or 100 people on iron horses or whatever?
Or is it like, they declare how they're going to do it, and this is what, like, I would think it would be. They declare how they're going to do it, and they get a number based on the difficulty.
Mm. Okay, somebody's like, okay, yeah, you're just going to have to kill about 4,000 to equal the difficulty of this dude over here.
Yeah, you know, because you're just saying they have to be walking.
Yeah.
Which is like,
it just seems weird because it's like the one guy that had to shoot like 9 people at once or something.
Yeah.
In any crowded space, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Easy peasy, considering.
There was something about the location, too.
I think there was, but.
Yeah, but it's just like,
it didn't seem like terribly difficult.
But I don't think we actually found out what his total was.
Oh, like how many he was supposed to get to?
Yeah, I don't remember.
That's fair. Yeah, he could have probably had some absurd amount that,
like,
we didn't know.
Like 400 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, we don't know, like, what the difficulty is versus that and stuff like that. Yeah.
And, we've also seen, with the roulette game, if we can call it that.
The roulette selection.
Right. That it's not always, like, set in stone, because that one itself would require them relaying, hey, you now go shoot up this place, and then he would fling it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, the element of random made it, like,
uh-huh.
So it's, and also, like I've said, I've never seen this show with grungy subtitles.
Mm.
So I'm actually learning new stuff as I'm watching it this time.
Right.
So other than that, Goram still hasn't merged with the new bike.
Oh, that's right.
He's got a new bite, so Goram. Oh, and they had to go, there was something weird, and they had to go back to
Nagano. Yeah.
Not John, who's been there more often.
Right.
It makes more
Sakurako
sense.
Sakurako had to go.
Sakurako had to go because she's
the expert.
Getting paid more in the actual job of the show and in the actual show.
Right, okay, yeah.
She's John's boss and also, like, a bigger cast member. Right. So they're like, this is a more important storyline, so it's her job.
And then we have, do we still have some going on with the kids in the preschool, or was that the episode before?
No, it was last episode. Them being like,
yeah, I'm angry.
Them being kids.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing, is it's like, it's realistic kid stuff.
It is.
It's not like, you know, my dad is a secret agent and that's why I'm upset.
Right.
No, it's like, I wanted to play with him, but he wouldn't play with me. So right. I made it so he can't play at all.
Right. It's, seriously.
It's just being kids.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, it's almost always like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, something huge. Or like, the reason why he's upset is because his brother was one of the people that were killed by the Grunk. Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, my mom hit my dad and he hasn't moved since. It's been a week and he smells bad. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's just like kids being kids. So it's like, and it's nice that it's not like, yeah, my older brother was one of the kids that died or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's so harsh. It's like, no, it's just being kids. And mm-hmm. This is just, not everything has to be connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, sometimes it makes it a bad story, like that one kid just wandering around town.
Yeah.
But that was just handled poorly.
Although he was technically connected to the teacher who's connected to the main characters. So yeah. Just that, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, these kids are connected to Minori, who is connected to Godai. So
right.
It's like,
yeah.
7 degrees going on here. It's just like, Godai's killed some Grongi, so it is a Grongi situation.
Yeah, that's right. Trickle down.
Yeah. And I mean, and technically everybody in Tokyo is being affected by the Grungi.
Yeah, it'd be pretty crazy.
Dude,
to say
I don't understand why anybody's even outside.
Dude, seriously. Leave it's Japan.
Like, yeah. It's like,
everybody move. Panic.
Yeah. Move.
Why are you still
at least
in
go
this
to
town?
The mountains.
Right.
At least leave Tokyo.
See, that's just it. The moment that everybody stays inside and there's nobody on the streets, they would just make a rule that's like, yeah, I kill people in apartments numbered, whatever such.
Yeah.
Buildings are this many stories.
Yeah. This is where you're like, okay, I'm putting in my vacation time.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be hard to get it because 9 people in your office have been killed. But
right. Well, think about it. If you leave, by the time you get back, there's plenty of open spots left. Like, it's going to be pretty easy to find a job.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really dark way of it, but true.
Yeah. So if you got to quit your job, it's going to be a black mark, but they're going to need the help.
Yes.
So.
They'd be like, yes, we do need a lot of work in this office because, you know, our office name has 4 letters in it, 4 kanji in it, which means that we were targeted by Grongi.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. But.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, dude, it's one of those things. It's just like, why are people living their normal lives at all?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, sometimes I even think about that with, like, even, it's not just Japanese shows, but just, like, America. I'm like, why does anybody live in New York City after Avengers 1?
Right? Yeah. You just got attacked by a Chitauri. Like,
yeah, there was a freaking alien invasion.
Yeah, you saw there was a portal that opened up over there. Like, you got to ask yourself, is this, like, where the portals open up?
Yeah.
Or is this, like, could they control it?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Move.
Yeah, get out of there. Get out of there.
In comic books, dude, nobody should be living in New York.
Yeah.
There was one comic book line in Marvel where a magic spell turned the entire island of Manhattan into a medieval world, and everybody was brainwashed.
Yeah.
To being medieval versions of themselves. And then there was this time where everybody got bitten by radioactive bed bugs that gave them spider powers. And, and so there was the island of spiders. It's the same thing. It's like, why does anybody live in Gotham?
Yeah, no, I was actually about to say, just let's talk about your favorite movie, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
With Christian Bale. They used Scarecrow's fear gas on the entire town.
Yeah.
And released a bunch of prisoners.
Like, literally, the only people should be living there are the people who can't afford to move.
Mm-hmm.
Or the crazy people.
Yeah. Seriously.
And it's just like, no, like, in the next movie, it's like there's a bunch of normal people who still live in Gotham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no.
Just your average everyday people.
No.
Give me a break.
Yeah. There should be the people who are sadly too poor to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are too rich who think nothing applies to them.
Right. Because seriously, like, I would have no problem selling everything I own, taking a backpack, and just going and living on, like, a hardwood floor with a sheet in a different area.
Yes.
Than live in Gotham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even one more day.
just take the loss at that
point. It's like, okay, you know what? I didn't want to have to do this, but here, I'm going to sell all my Magic the Gathering cards. I have an extensive DVD collection. You know, I could probably get like $100 off of that. Just whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You know, start calling up relatives you don't even know to explain your situation.
Dude, I live in Gotham. Can I crash in your garage?
Yeah.
It's like, or, you know, could I pitch a tent in your backyard?
Yeah, I never really had a great opinion of vagrancy, but now I'm starting to feel kind of vagranty. You know?
Yeah.
Vagrant-like.
Yeah. Can I just use your P.O. box as a mailing address?
Right.
I'll shower in a gym. You know, it's just like...
Gosh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That looks like a perfectly fine bush outside of Gotham. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to cross like, the bridge.
I would maybe live in Metropolis, but even that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole time during DC Comics line where literally Metropolis had like 30th century technology. The entire city became flying cars and everything like that.
Yeah.
Just Metropolis. Wow. I'm like, that's where you're like, yeah, I'll leave there.
No, I see. Metropolis is like, on one hand, yeah, Superman's there. He's there to protect you. On the other hand, Superman's there. He's getting attacked by, like,
yeah,
galactic threats.
Move just to cause. Idaho.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, get out of there, man.
If you intend to stick around in Gotham, you might as well just choose your own way of going out. It's probably going to be better than how it will happen to you.
Yeah.
Like,
just be a criminal. That's the best way to be in Gotham.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Batman beats you up.
There's this whole storyline about like how the thing is like, how do these guys get like their goons? And it's just like one group of goons that just like go to just different.
They're getting hired out.
Yeah. They're Joker goons this week. They're Riddler goons this week. It's
kind of funny. They show up and they've got the wrong strike poster.
You're like, oh, man. Oh, we're fighting Joker. I bought a question.
Oh, you got a Joker mask. It's like, oh, man, I thought I had my penguin mask.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, man. I've been doing double shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you show up at Denny's with your Applebee's outfit on. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Only it's, you know.
Yeah. What kind only, of thing was I this only week? Your boss could kill you. But
oh, right.
Yeah. So anyways, Kuga, yeah, I don't know why they live in Tokyo, but because they need people for the Grungy to kill.
Yeah.
It's a storyline thing. I think we talked about this, how like in Japanese fiction, a lot of times they'll like have the world change, but like they'll do it way earlier than you think it is. It's like 15 years ago, magic came into the world. Now everybody's cool with it. I'm like, 15 years ago, that's still magic war time.
Yeah. Yeah.
50 years ago, I'll go with that.
Right.
At the very least.
Yeah, 50 is, that's proper amount of time where you can be like, okay.
Well, like in My Hero Academia, it's an indeterminate amount of time.
Right. Well, you can assume there's at least 8 generations, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty long time.
And they say at one point, they're like, they're in the distant future.
Yeah.
But because of all the craziness that happened when they got superpowers,
it's as
they're
if
kind
they
of
never...
just back now to being normal.
Right.
And so you're like, okay, that makes
hundreds
sense.
Of years for yeah. all you know.
They're like, one scientist said, without quirks, they would have been living in space by now. You yeah. know?
Okay, yeah.
Because they're like, world wars happened when people got superpowers yeah. up. And,
it's the way to do it, man. Yeah. Don't be specific.
Yeah.
And then your work will stand the test of time.
Well, like, it was like early 2000s, Power Rangers SPD came in and it gave a date that was like 2018 or something like that. And it was just like, aliens were living on the planet, they had a space force and all this stuff. I'm like, just say the not too distant future.
Uh-huh.
The best one was Max Headroom. The show Max Headroom, the story of Max Headroom's nuts. Like, the story of the actual character Max Headroom. Like I watched a whole documentary on it. It's nuts. But the show Max Headroom started every episode by saying 20 minutes in the future.
Okay.
So it was because it was a dystopian future where, like, conglomerates controlled everything.
Okay.
And media was being controlled and all this stuff.
Eventually it'll be right.
Yeah. So it's just 20 minutes in the future. So it's just, like, anything could happen and it might be this. And so it was just a little bit in the future. Anyways, yeah, so it's like building because we're at 35,
mm-hmm.
50, I think it's 50, 49, 50, episode in Kuga, I think 50. We're getting towards like nearing the end of this game,
mm-hmm.
you'd think.
Because yeah, there's only like 4 Grungy that we know of, 5 that
yeah.
are left, but then we get new batches all the time.
Yeah.
So. Wait, was this the semifinals or the finals?
I think the semi.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think it's the semifinals. But they're like, but Grungy, we go to finals.
Right.
Triple finals.
Yeah. So, yeah, now we're dealing with the SS rank and yeah. then the SSS rank.
Yeah. and then the unranked rank.
Right.
So, yeah. Any other thoughts? I mean, it's like, Kuga's relatively straightforward without being too straightforward. It's not 71 level.
Right.
But it's also not like, I have no idea what's happening level of, like...
Honestly, they didn't really give us much to think about at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, it was mostly... I mean, this episode is... I mean, last episode and, like, pretty much the whole show is just, like, cops being good and Kuga's the kicker.
Yeah, because I... Honestly, with the way that the last episode ended, it was weird that they stopped the fight there and he didn't just punch him and that was the end of it. Because up to that point, it was a complete story as far as I'm concerned. There's, like, no lingering...
Yeah.
Anything. So I'm wondering how they're going to milk another episode out of this, because...
Other than him just getting away.
Especially with the way it was filmed and, like, the intent, like, how he's killing them and the kind of story they're telling, it could have ended with unanswered questions and it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Because that would just, again, next time there's a case with Grungy, they can call back to how they actually never figured out what was happening.
Yeah.
And that's like a little, it's like a level of terror now.
Yeah, the only way I can see them continuing the story is the Grungy gets away.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he has to. Yeah.
And then they have to protect the kid. I'm like, but how are they going to make that last a full episode?
Yeah.
Flashbacks?
Yeah, right. Seriously.
Yeah. Recap episode.
So I guess I'm not super excited going into this because I can't, like, because we're not even excitedly talking about what could happen.
Yeah.
Compared to other times that we've talked about Kuga's, like, oh, how are they going to handle this? And, like, what kind of damage
are
they
looking
at?
Yeah, because they haven't shown. It's possible that we'll learn something in the first, like, minute that would have been better placed to the last episode where it's just like, oh, yeah, this is the reason why.
Because I think your suck was even, that was a kind of a weird cliffhanger spot.
So, like, if in the first part of the episode, what happens is he does a finisher on it and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That would have been the better part to end the episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So, is this the first Grungy of the new set?
No.
Because there was the
Grasshopper.
Yeah, the Grasshopper Grungy to end the last set.
Yeah.
And then this set is...
Yeah, so I guess it must be this is the first one of the semifinals then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so then this would be the time to show that he needs to power up again.
Yeah.
Which might just be what happens, but yeah, again, that would still make the...
It makes sense at the end of the last episode and not the start of this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
That might just be an editing thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, it's not... How do I expect you to remember you've seen the show once 10 years ago or whatever?
Yeah.
The makeup of... Like, especially when you're binging them, because it's going to blend together.
These shows all blend together, especially the Kuga shows, the Kuga Agito, everything from Kuga onto Double. I just, like, I had all of those shows lined up.
Yeah, it was all at once.
Yeah, so I just watched them right after another. So, except Kiva, because I skipped over Kiva because I'd seen it before. Mm. So, because I explained, I watched Kiva, I started Decade and realized it was an anniversary show, went back as far as I could, and then I started watching all of them, and then I got back to Decade, found out that it was an anniversary show that really didn't matter if you saw the previous episodes.
Yeah, okay.
And then Double is when I started watching it when it was, like, airing.
Yeah, okay.
Which makes me feel old because they just had the 10th anniversary for O's, which is the show after Double.
Right.
I just walked, drove over to my high school and be like, oh, yeah, it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This year is literally my 20th anniversary.
Right.
My 20-year... We're not having it. Even if they ever mean, I'm not going. I don't care about those people. But
screw them.
20 years since I graduated, so I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I quit and got my GED the same year, so I don't have to deal with that. I won't be getting any letters.
Yes.
Pat myself on the back.
Yes. You're also a fair distance away from that
school.
So yeah. Okay, so we're going to go watch this, and we'll be back. Okay, and we're back. And yeah, like 30 seconds more from this episode to the last episode would have made a better cliffhanger.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, because it starts out right back into the fight.
And he literally, he's doing his Superman punch and he misses.
Yeah. And then like...
He whiffs.
He whiffs, and we see that the... Porcupine's too fast because Porcupine's known for the super speed.
He's like, greased up deaf guy. He just can't. Yeah,
he's not a hedgehog. If he was a hedgehog, I'd be fine with this.
Right. No, he's a porcupine.
Maybe porcupines are the ones with super speed, just like rhinos and the super hearing.
Right.
Yeah. All these things we're learning from Kuga. Right. All these animals' facts.
Seriously.
like the pension that, like, what is it? Armadillos are, have a pension for gambling.
Yeah.
But
so he's so, you know, he's just dodging around. He's toying with Kuga.
Yeah.
You know, he's hiding behind trees and laughing and stuff.
He established in the last episode he's a masochist.
He's having a lot
not
of
a masochist,
fun.
He's a sadist.
Sadist, yeah.
So
he just starts throwing these spine shuriken at him.
Yeah.
Just covers him in these, you know.
He needles him up.
Yep.
And then he villains it.
Yeah, he untransforms and gives him the, I'll kill whoever I want, kill you if you get in my way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not exactly how he says it, but he gives him the warning.
Yeah.
Sort of, learn your lesson, fool.
So that makes me wonder, is he just being stupid, which is always a possibility, or does he, like, mess up if he kills Kuga?
Yeah, because he says, because he mentions the, what does he call him, the Gegiru or something like that? He's like, he mentions the Gegiru and to not get in his way or he'll kill him, right? So I'm thinking that might be a hidden rule. It's like, you gotta have, you gotta
at least kill him the way you've been killing.
Yeah.
Because, like, Grasshopper is just like, yeah, we'll kill you.
He's going to kill him last, but he's going to ride him down.
He's going to kill him the way he killed everybody else.
Right.
So, I don't know. Or it's, I mean, because we're in the next phase, as we figured out, so the rules are different.
Mm-hmm.
There's no telling, like, what additional rules or make the semifinals harder.
Right.
But, or he could just be stupid villain.
Yeah.
And, yeah, those always
it
fail.
Works for him. And, I mean, it works for most of them.
Yeah, because they're very arrogant.
Yeah.
That's a default Grongi thing.
It is. It really is.
Even against other Grongi. Every Grongi thinks they're the best Grongi. Which is interesting when they actually have a hierarchy built in to their names.
Seriously. Because I'll agree to this. It's like, you know, just from the name, man. Like, come on.
These people are literally two classes above you, Batman.
Yeah, seriously.
So he leaves, and then it goes to the opening.
Yeah, so it comes back. It's like 1:59 p.m., and the guy, the kid, right, is getting pushed into the police vehicle. At first, I was like, are they arresting somebody? No, they're just...
It's like, it's a convoy. It's police protection. Yeah. They're like, are they arresting him? How dare you not die?
It's like, why are you grabbing my head? Sorry. Sorry. You
know. Force habit.
And you know they're riding off and Ichijo's sitting next to Godai and well no they're sitting they're standing
yeah
and Godai's like I'm gonna get him
yeah
you know he's just determined to
yeah
you know
well it's the attacking the innocent attacking
right.
kids even though these are teenage boys they're not innocent at all but
so yeah right so like 3 minutes later we see Sakurako in the police car headed towards the area, whatever
wherever they're going. They're going
there's
to a
like
destination.
A bad storm going on.
It's pouring rain.
Yeah, and they're explaining that
it's worse than they told her.
Yeah, the situation is a lot worse than it was. Something like, now I'm not quite sure what exactly
34 bodies.
About. But yeah, there's 34 corpses. All of them have tattoos.
Yeah.
And they think it could be ULF Zero. I don't know if life for them. That started this whole thing.
Yeah.
They need her to confirm it, of course, but, you know, she's like, you know, obviously confused by all that. Seems very macabre.
So it's like the interesting thing because it's like I think they think it's ULF Zero because he's the only one who hasn't shown up in Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
And so it's the only one they know of that hasn't shown up in Tokyo. And, like, they said something about bodies, but I don't remember how many they thought had been killed previously.
Right.
But yeah, now they say it's 34.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to Rose, who's just in the woods.
Yeah, it's like her. She's walking, and then she's like staring through some trees, and then there's a cave entrance, and it zooms into the cave, and she's talking to something off in the distance that responds with a single light flash, so the dead lights or whatever. And it's like, are you just going to kill like all the weak or something like that?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how to quote
it. Something like that. Are you going to kill all the weak?
And there's like a single light flash.
And she's like, okay, I will move she's talking about the game, going to move the game on to the finals, I guess. I think it's shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Push this through to the finals. And then there's another light flash. And it goes to the general Grongi. When I meant general as in the group, not general as in the guy who's dressed up like a commander, who happens to be also who I'm talking about.
It's the general and the general Grongi and then the general Grongi.
Yeah, so you see, it's just funny. I said that. And I'm like, okay, actually, that's not what I meant by that, but it's accurate.
Yes.
Kind of.
General Grongi was the general Grongi or the general Grongi and the general Grongi.
Right.
You know?
So... aside from Rose, those Grungy.
Yes.
The rabble, if you will.
Yeah.
And the guy walks up and he's like, is what's his face going to make it, referring to the porcupine. And they kind of explain some of the rules. He has to kill 90 within 12 days. And because the other guy was like, he's going to win soon, right? And the scorekeeper guy's like, no.
One didn't count.
Yeah, one didn't count because they killed themselves. So he's going to try to kill a different Linto to replace that. And he has to kill him by today. Yeah, he has to get to him today for him to die on, like, to finally die on the 12th and last day.
Because it takes 4 days for his stuff to kill a person.
Right. So this is his last chance, basically. Yeah.
So this is interesting. So this is, like, the first time we've had it, I think, where it's the time limits the pusher.
Yeah.
Not the number.
Yeah.
It's a nice little change of pace.
Yeah, because he has to kill them. It's not like he can go just snap his neck.
Yeah.
Like, he has to kill him in a way that it'll take 4 days for him to die, and so...
He has to use his little spine things, which takes 4 days.
Yeah.
And that's the way, I guess, he has to kill him.
Right. And so the other guy probably got hit with it and then just killed himself before the fourth day.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Yeah, he freaked out because everybody in his class was dead.
Yeah.
You know, to be fair.
To be fair. And they died horribly. Too. Yeah. It's not like screaming for their mothers and having brain aneurysms. It's like, nah, just choose your own way.
Yeah. And then they're just like, hey, where's the zoo trash?
Yeah, the lady, the only woman grungy, because there's always only one in a group.
Yeah.
And then she's like, where's that trash, you know, zoo?
Zoo. Talking about the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he's not there. So then it goes back to the school.
Yeah, the preschool, too.
Which happens so much during this episode.
Oh my God, does it.
Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it works. And sometimes it's just like,
did we need this scene?
Yeah.
Did we need this? No. But okay, so she's talking to the kid, and I just want to say before anything, they're putting toys away, and this kid is putting toys away like a freaking psychopath. He's going to grow up and be a serial killer.
One at a time.
He's sitting in the Seiza position. You know, he's on his... on his knees or whatever, and with one arm, he's taking one and placing it, and then taking one and it's like, dude, there is no way in hell. You're either not going to do it, or you're going to be just like flinging him there. I don't care how depressed you are.
To be fair, at least the kid acts.
Yeah. But yeah, he's placing him as if, like, I would think that inside the box, he's got them like arranged by color and size and shape with how weirdly he's placing them.
Yeah. It's so that the scene lasts long enough to finish all the lines.
That's literally what it is. Yeah. And she's like, okay, so I know you guys had a fight, but do you hate him now? Like, do you remember that time when you guys did something fun? Like, don't you like that version of him more? So, like,
treat him like that version of him, and then you'll get to see that version.
Yeah, work up the courage to tell him that you didn't like that he did that to you.
Yeah.
And then you guys can continue being friends. And the kid obviously doesn't respond.
He's good. Just absorbing information. It's all good information until she gets to the end, where she says, do what you think is best. Never tell a kid that.
Yeah. It's like, but you know, you just do you, and she walks off.
Yeah, no, never tell a kid that.
Yeah.
You tell them what's best.
Yeah. Guide them. It's like you had it right up to that point. Yeah. Drop the ball on the end. I think it's more so that way the parents don't come by and like, you told my kid to do this, and then they got into a fight. No, what? He doesn't remember, but at the end I said, do what you think is best. Oh, okay, that's fair. Fine.
Not at Japanese school. That's not
what No.
The Japanese school, they'd be like, kid, what are you doing? Anyways.
So it's 2:31 p.m. It's at the police station in like a holding cell or something like
that.
It's
like a police station or like a hospital. Well, it appears like an apartment complex,
right,
later.
Like it is at the station, but it's like a... I guess the medical room in the police station. I didn't know that this was a thing.
It's like this police station. I don't know if it is a police station, but it's like a full complex.
Yeah.
Like at one point they walk by the mailboxes.
Yeah, because it's something precinct. I don't know. Like, but yeah, it's like
it's huge.
It's huge.
It's a location.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's probably like a non-used apartment building.
Probably.
From the way the layout is.
Yeah, like later on in the episode, yeah. It doesn't make sense.
I feel like it's just like they're just using an apartment building as this. But yeah, the kid's there and he's freaking out, rightly so.
He's like, why us? Like, why's it got to be us that are dying?
And Godai's feeling pretty pissed about this whole thing.
Yeah.
But
So he's like, look, man, I'll protect you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the short version.
Yeah.
And he's like, but, and not just me, we all will.
Yeah.
You know, we're all here for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it kind of calms him down a little bit. And the doctor, Like he's, because there's a doctor there and he's breaking out some meds, and the kid's like, well, you know, what's this? What's that? You know, now he's freaking out again. He's like, oh, this is just some supplements here because you haven't been eating. This is some medication to help you sleep. And then he's like, oh no, what if I sleep, the thing's going to come and kill me.
And Godai's like, well, get him.
Yeah. And then Ichijo's like, look, just trust us.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
We're here for you, man. We're here.
And so they lay him at the wrong head of the bed, and it's just like, right. It just feels weird to put the head near the middle of the bed in the hospital room.
Right.
And I think they just did that for the scene. But
in this next scene, I don't really understand the purpose. It's like, are they trying to humanize the Grungy or something? Like giving him goals that you can kind of relate to? Because it's like 3 minutes later. There's just random people we've never seen before eating at some restaurant, and there's like news. Talking, like basically these two people talking about the situation that's been going on, reminding us how they all died with the embolism and whatnot, or the, yeah. You know, the.
I think what this is, it's just a recap, but they just wanted to do it in an interesting way.
Okay, that makes sense. Because, because
rather than just having everybody just having the same characters look at the screen.
Yeah. Because so the guy is like looking around, he's calling for some more food, and he looks out the window and he sees somebody there and he's like, whoa! And then he looks back and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's the Grungy that was just kind of staring at them. And like, you know, snapping his fingers every now and then. And then they're like, oh, okay, I guess you were just seeing something.
So if you saw, they have a kneeling table.
Mm.
So like, this is probably a traditional Japanese restaurant. So there are some seats that are like, you have to kneel at to eat.
Mm.
I tried to avoid all those because I'm not
good. Oh, hell no.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm just going to put my legs under the table straight out.
Right. Yeah, my legs are hurting thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, how do you do this? It's like. And it's a trained thing. It's not like a genetic thing or anything like that. Like I knew some like Western people who like grew up in Japan and stuff like
and
that.
They could do it.
They could just sit forever kneeling. You know, it's just like,
No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I could sit for a while. It's like the sitting is only half of it. The getting up is the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, no circulation.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. But so it goes outside of the restaurant and it's following the Grungy and he's like, I'm going to make it to the Zagi Bas Gegidu or just whatever the hell.
Basically, he's going to make it to the next stage. He's going to make it to the finals. I think what this scene really is it's showing that he knows he's on a time limit.
Yeah. Yeah,
it shows him like, day. I got to get this done.
Yeah, he's going to be reckless.
Yeah.
So it goes back to Sakurako and it's still pouring rain and they've arrived at whatever building they need to be at.
The warehouse district of Nagano.
And as they're getting closer to wherever they're going, first off the building, it's like one run down, it's crappy. There's like everything's
water
leaking,
everywhere. Cause trash it is pouring rain,
like just refuse. And she pulls out a cloth to cover her face. So something stinks.
Yeah.
So.
What? The word you were looking for is handkerchief.
Yeah.
Handkerchief. You're like, cloth thing.
Yeah, cloth thing. Handkerchief. Yeah. I don't use them.
Yeah. It's one of those words that like, it's a cloth thing you sneeze in, you know? You
yeah,
know
that
mean?
Thing.
You good.
No, I could have said handkerchief any other day. But, so yeah, it's just implying that they're getting close to murder. Now this is the weirdest part of this episode for me. I don't know about you, but it goes to the Poli Poli.
Yes.
And Jean walks through the door and there's this weird, like freaky circus music playing and everybody's talking in distorted voices.
Yes. And so it's this scene between, the owner and Jean.
Yeah.
And he comes in and the owner says his name wrong. And Jean's just like, you got it wrong again. And I guess this is a running joke between them. I think the idea of this scene is that these characters have lives you don't see.
Yeah, yeah. But it's doing, like, it's weird carnival music and
yeah, it's a
distorted
weird, like,
voices. And then they start laughing like,
and then it goes back to normal.
And then he sits down next to him and that's when the like it goes just a regular conversation. It shows that it's 2:41 and... Yeah.
It was just a weird scene or it's just like...
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't know the subtleties to this, but...
I think it might have been that they were trying to show them like being a double act.
Okay.
Like, that's the
like
idea.
Like, they're playing off each other.
Yeah, and... they're, like, in their own little world playing off of each other. Because they, like, do a little bit later, too.
Uh-huh.
And so, basically, he's this there to say, to recap what happened with Sakurako last episode.
Yeah, they're like, hey, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, she's down doing blah, 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 because she's important, and I'm not.
And Nano's just like, she's amazing, and, like, he's like, yeah, she's my boss. She's awesome.
She's like, well, I'm gonna be an actress. Because I guess she feels inferior.
Yeah, she feels like she's competing with Sakurako for Godai.
That's fair, because, you know, she's got the hots for him.
Yeah. And then it's Sakurako is Godai's like best friend. Mm-hmm. So she feels like there's something there. There's not. But she feels threatened.
Right. And so her uncle's like, oh yeah, you're gonna do fine. You're gonna be like this actress. And then John's like, oh, and like, or this actress. And he's like, oh, or maybe even this actress. And he's like, oh,
you've named all my favorites.
And they're like, you know,
we've kind of established that John is kind of a Japanophile.
Yeah.
I probably said that so fast. He's like he really likes Japanese things.
Right.
He's like when they go to restaurants, he has a traditional Japanese meal while Sakurako's eating like pancakes.
Yeah. They're having pizza and he's asking for okonomiyaki.
Yeah, type thing. Yeah. Which is fine. You know, that adds a little bit to his character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, like why wouldn't
you're in Japan.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the same thing as like if you go to New York, you get New York pizza. You know, it's just like you get those things.
Yeah.
Because you're there. And but he likes Japanese things. So I would see that like he would like Japanese actresses and stuff like that. And my guess would be, this is a guess because I have no idea who these actresses are. I'm guessing these are old actresses.
Probably.
They're probably actresses that the owner liked when he was a kid.
Yeah. I imagine she's like, who? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like Jean is just like into classic Japanese cinema.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's the joke there, I'm guessing, is that Jean has the same taste as an old Japanese man.
Yeah.
Not just a Japanese person, but like an old Japanese man.
Okay, so like the next scene, it's Godai is on the phone with what's his sister's name?
Minori.
Minori, and they're just like he's like, hey, I'm just calling to see how the kids are doing. She's like, oh, the kids are doing fine.
Well, he calls to say, hey, I'm in a different district. I'm sorry, I bailed on the kids like because I was supposed to do some magic stuff or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, but how are those kids doing?
Yeah, they're doing fine, but they specifically about Shota or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
It's kind of awkward situation.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it'll be fine. They're human beings.
They're both human beings. They'll work it out. I'm like,
you've been paying attention.
Yeah.
He flunked history. History's not one of those skills.
Like, if he would have said, they're both smart kids.
Uh-huh.
Fine, whatever. We don't know much about them. Maybe they're both smart kids. But the fact that they're human beings means they'll work something out when they're disputing?
No. I guess murder is a solution.
Yeah, you know.
I guess
one side won.
Yeah. It depends on how we define it, working it out.
Yeah, if they never talk to each other and are bitter for the rest of their lives, is that working out? Because it's a possibility here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both laughed. We're like, seriously, you just said that?
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Peaceful resolution.
I mean, even if he said they're both young.
Yeah.
Oh, they're both smart. You know, they're even they're both boys. They'll work it out.
Yeah.
But no, they're human beings.
Yeah. Or they're friends. They'll work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're human beings. Not a good metric. There's so much gray in that area.
Because, that's what human beings are known for. Getting along with each other.
Peace and love, man.
Yeah. Peacefully solving their disputes. That's what we're known for.
And so, you know,
all we know, that could be like a Japanese idiom.
Right. I'm sure it's got to be something like that. Yeah.
You know, because like I think I've told you about the one is like if I'm sorry was enough, we wouldn't need the police type thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's an idiom. So I'm wondering if that was one, but it just doesn't translate well. But like just reading the subtitle, you're just like, serious?
Yeah. It's like, dude. So he hangs up the phone and he's like kind of walking down the halls and he turns into a room and he sees the news talking about, hey, you know, there's been 90 dead since blah, blah. Here's the most recent.
Including the kid that killed himself. There's been 90 that have died from this.
Yeah. And so they say the names and show pictures of the last five that have died and say again that they all died the same way as such and such. And you can see on Godai that it's hitting him hard, right?
You notice that all of these photos look like mugshots?
They do. Yeah.
So
it's like, I hope that's not your student ID.
It is. You're not allowed to smile in Japanese ID photos.
Okay.
If you show teeth, their photo's rejected.
It's like, no good.
Yeah. And I believe that you should look unhappy in all ID photos, because 90% of the time you show your ID to somebody, you're unhappy.
Right.
So you don't want to be that confused. Like, no, this guy's smiling. It's definitely not.
Honestly, I feel like, too, like if anybody comes with way too much makeup and stuff on, it's like, that's not, just, no. This isn't how I'm going to see you.
I've seen people at our job, because we card people at our work, try to use racism to get by. Like, I've seen Asian kids pass around IDs.
Oh, yeah, because thinking you wouldn't notice.
Yeah, notice the difference.
Yeah, it's like, that don't work for me.
Yeah, they'll be like, is this the same person? And I just, like, a security guard was, like, looking at the ID, and whenever he would look, the Asian kid would look at the security guard, he'd squint his eyes, just, like, trying to, like, he'd squint his eyes to look like the picture. And I'm like,
oh,
you're
classic.
Just like, you're just being, just, you just assume he's racist.
Right. Seriously, that's it too. There's been two separate occasions where I don't want to say startled. That's not the right word. I guess surprised somebody by remembering their name and how to spell it and being like, oh, I don't need your card. I've got this. And typing in, you know, it's like, it's a Korean name, man. I know I can speak it. We're good. Yeah. It's like, we're not going to have a conversation, though.
I mean, to
though.
Be fair, obviously, I have seen things. So it's like, oh, yeah, you know what they're saying. They're Chinese.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're saying.
No clue. Yeah. I mean, you can tell kind of like from their movements and facial expressions. And it's like, obviously, they're discussing whether or not they're going to split those.
Yeah. But like, for us who have heard enough of like these, we know, like, I know it's Chinese. I don't know what they're saying, but I can definitely just hear like four words and I know that you're speaking.
I've identified this as Mandarin as opposed to Cantonese.
Yeah. But I have
no
idea.
I suppose
what you're
that's
saying.
The first step. But yeah. That's where it stops.
Yeah, that's where it stops. But anyways, so yeah, ID photos in Japan, you're not supposed to look angry, but you're not supposed to smile.
Yeah.
But all these photos do look like mugshots because some of them just straight up look angry.
Right.
And to be fair, problem. I mean, he's killing everybody in the entire class.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I forgot. When they were at the last news report, they like explained it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the boys in a class of a certain school.
Okay. So like, are we saying class as in grade or?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and that's where so it was grade, and then the different classes were how they broke it up that in the previous episode that made it seem like they were coming from different schools.
Uh-huh.
So, that's, I guess that's why he had to go for this other kid, because it was just all the boys in this grade.
Mm.
And like one killed himself, so that doesn't count. But one came in,
and so it does.
So that's the 90.
Yeah, he was transferring into that grade. So technically, he was part of the roster. Yeah.
So basically, when they were coming up with the game, they're like, "There's 90 boys in this class. You got to kill 90 in 12 days." But during the middle, one killed himself. So rather, I guess he lucked out.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, he would have been like, "Now it's impossible."
Yeah.
Grab any girl, identify as a boy, so
yeah,
I kill
do
you.
Do it. Change gender.
Splash hot water on you.
Oh, Ranma. Yeah. You see that he's, you know, he's upset about these deaths and he's taken to heart. And so he's in the hallway with Ichijo and he's like, man, I really hate this. I hate not being able to do something.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, because he's the kind of guy, he wants to take action.
Yeah. He didn't learn 2001 skills to not do nothing.
Right. And right now he's just sitting and twiddling his thumbs and waiting for it to show up. And Ichijo's, you know, like, man, they look like us. They learn to talk like us, but we're different from them.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do messed up stuff like this for sake of a game, even though we don't really know why they're doing it.
Yes.
He still is like, you know.
We can't, like, we got to calm down and stop, like, thinking that they're like us.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we'll just, like, go crazy.
Yeah. And that's true.
And that's true. And so then it goes back to the warehouse. And they're going through with the lights, and there's blood everywhere.
Yeah, and they all have rags to their nose. So it's not just that it's her and her weak constitution. No.
And you can tell the two cops are handling it better.
Uh-huh.
But not nearly as... but they still, like, it smells bad.
Right. And whatever room they're in, there's no lights. They're using flashlights, and it's pure carnage.
Yeah.
I mean, there's viscera everywhere. There's blood, like, covering the floor.
Yeah.
And they're walking her through this room to a specific...
Remember, this is a TV show for children.
Right. Yeah. Walking her to a specific spot in the room, and they... do they do it in the scene? They do, yeah.
Yes.
So they kind of, like, move the...
So they stop, and she keeps walking, and they're like, no, look over here. And it's to the side of the wall, and they look up, and it's, like, a symbol written in blood.
Yeah.
And this is... it's the Kuga symbol.
Okay.
I don't know if it, like, they changed it. It's like the Google symbol or something like that. But, like...
Because, I mean, there's other blood splashed around, so...
Yeah, but if you look at it, it's Kuga symbol.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so, but they might point out later how it's different. But if you just look at it, not knowing Grungy or whatever, it's the Kuga symbol. Which is what I think is what startles her so much.
Yeah.
Because I believe the Kuga symbol is just warrior. If I remember correctly, it just means warrior.
Right.
In whatever Linto language or whatever they have. So then it goes to the Grongi.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's a few minutes later and it's back at the whatever this place is with that's overrun by cops.
Yes.
It calls itself a precinct, but that might not mean the same thing. And there's just a random cop down there. I think this is the younger cop, right?
Yeah, this is the new cop.
And he thinks he hears something, so he goes and looks out, and he's like, no. And then he starts to walk back, and then he turns around all of a sudden, and there's the Grungy on the staircase, and he's like, what? And then it's gone. And so, like, he's, you know, running in. I think Ichijo gets a phone call, and he's like, ah, you saw the Grungy? I'm on my way. And then it goes to the preschool.
Yes. And Midori's walking by, and all the kids are playing, and
she sees the kid that got...
Shoto?
No, Shoto is the one that kicked the Legos or the blocks.
Yeah.
So this is the other one that tried to play with him.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is. The emo kid, as opposed to the anger management child.
Yes. So, like, it was... Shoto wanted to play with him, but he wanted to play by himself, and so Shoto destroyed his toys rather than just being like, cool, talk to you later. But, yeah, it's the quiet one versus the loud one.
Mm-hmm.
So
the quiet one walks up to the kid, like he's like got his fists and like he's like trying to work up some courage, turns around, he's like no, and then he's like no, I'm gonna do it, and he turn, you know, goes back and gives him the whole speech being like, you know, I didn't like that you do it and you're a jerk sometimes and
but I still want to play with you, so if you like act like the good you, we can be together and have fun and stuff. And then he goes and sits down.
Yeah, and the other kid, it's like the kid ignored him, but you can see on his face that he's thinking about
and
it.
And then action sequence.
Yeah, dramatic staircases.
Action chase. And so it's, this is pretty much a lot of, I mean, it's a good dynamic scene. They show it well.
So you see Ichijo and crew in the upper levels running down the stairs. And then you see the cops from the bottom moving up the stairs and they kind of bump into each other.
So, yeah.
And
so,
like, did you see anything? So
through all of this, the guy snaps.
Yeah. He keeps snapping his fingers.
And that's how you know that, like, that's his taunting. Because then they hear that, and that's where they know he is, and then he's just really fast, or teleports or something. I think the idea is that he's really fast.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, these walls are close enough together that he could, like, put one hand on either side of the wall and be up in the roof for just where nobody would know. But, yeah, so there's a bunch of snapping and them just being led around like
being
idiots.
Toys.
Like, total idiots. And I'll explain why when we get to the sucks. But in the meantime, what the hell did I write here? It goes into the room with the kid.
Yeah.
And there's a dead cop on the ground.
Or unconscious.
Yeah. And he's just sitting there snapping his fingers over and over again. Meanwhile, you see Godai outside of the hallway trying to find him. And then, you know, obviously his echolocation kicks in because he keeps snapping his fingers as he's walking up to the child.
Yeah.
Busts through the door.
And this is Godai just going straight hardcore.
Yeah. He henshins immediately, tackles the guy through some glass.
Through the window, into the courtyard.
However many stories down, slam.
and just starts a beatdown.
Oh, this is a beatdown. Like, he's punching, like, he's on top of him, full mount, just punching him over and over again. You see blood just splattering on the ground. Yeah. The guy eventually
beats him down so much that he has to beat him up.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't remember what Ichijo said, but.
No, so it's Sugita.
Oh,
Sugita comes out. He's like, don't shoot. There's four. Number four.
Oh, that's four. He's with us.
Yeah.
And so the
because there's a bunch of cops aiming guns at them.
Right. So the porcupine tries to run away, and Kuga ain't having none of that. He grabs and turns back around and just starts beating on him again. And it's just like a long, drawn-out scene. This dude's getting an ass whooping.
Yeah. And then it cuts to the kids.
Oh.
Who?
You're right.
It cuts to the kids with the angry kid grabbing the hand of the quiet kid.
Yeah. So he's, I don't know. They're going to make a cute couple someday, but. In the meantime, this is like...
He grabs him and he's just like... And then it cuts back to Godai grabbing the hands of the Grungy. I'm like, are they going to make out, too?
Right.
Like, are they going to make up right now?
So I didn't really understand the scene until later, but he gets on his bike and I'm like, he's just going to run him over. That's weird. Like, you know his hatred when you just stop beating somebody's ass so you can run him over with your bike. And the Goron comes in and combines.
Yeah.
And he rams him and starts driving off.
This is when I remember, like, oh, yeah, these guys blow up.
They blow up. Yeah. It took me until, like, you know, 2 minutes from now that I'm like, oh, yeah.
As soon as he, like, runs him out, I'm like, oh, yeah, these guys blow up big, man. You don't want to do this in the middle of a school, hospital, apartment building, whatever they're at.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he rams him and he starts going. And then it goes back to the kids.
Yeah, so he pulls him over to the middle of the room and dumps a whole box of toys out dramatically and just starts building.
and like
aggressively, and the kid comes in and starts timidly building with him, and,
like forcing him to, you use this piece to build.
We're just gonna silently build.
Yeah, we're gonna build our feelings
and
out.
And so I guess it works. You know, they,
I mean,
I guess
kids,
they made up. Yeah,
you know, they don't know how
to
articulate feelings.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even know how to respond if they could articulate feelings.
Seriously.
So,
it's that we're asking too much.
Yeah. The child actors are actually pretty good for being children.
They are.
You know, they're not like being asked to be, you know, demon spawn or adults trapped in children's bodies or something like that. They're just told to be children and they're good at being children.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good. So this is actually a pretty fun scene. So you see the porcupine, he's being driven off into somewhere, and he gets up and he's like weakly grabbing at his spikes on his chest because they're like little ones that he makes big. And so he's got like three or four, a bundle of them in his hand. He's getting ready to stab the
Kuga.
Bike.
Kuga.
Okay, he's ready to stab Kuga. Kuga switches to Titan. So obviously it does nothing. He just bounces off him. He just slaps the porcupine. It's like, stop. They get to a...
like a river.
Yeah, like a lake or a river or something like that. And he, you know, hit slams the brakes. It goes flying off into the, you know, the edge of it and some rocks. And I'm thinking, I thought he was just going to explode.
Yeah.
It's like a delayed ram is what this was. No. He gets off the Titan, starts the slow walk.
He grabs the handle, turns it into the sword, starts the slow walk, starts the Terminator walk. And then Porcupine's throwing stuff at him, and then he goes into gold.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Titan.
And none of this it's just bouncing off.
Yeah.
He's watching slow death approach.
And then he gets to them, and it's like, the thing is, he doesn't do a finishing move on this guy. He just keeps slashing him until he blows up.
Yeah, he slashes him like 9-10 times.
And then he's on the ground, he just like stabs him. Big explosion. He's in Titan, so he's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see a form in the fire.
Yeah.
There's this form in the fire, and this form is... his final form.
Okay. So you're getting kind of a peek at it.
Yeah, he's seeing a vision of his final form in this fire. It's ultimate form.
Okay. And then we see Sakuraka taking pictures of the blood on the wall.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes back, it's him just kind of standing there unhenshined, quietly, like he's holding on to the...
Oh, we forgot that like while he was like punching or slashing, he was seeing flashes of the kid's photos.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, he's thinking about everyone that this thing's killed.
Yeah,
and
the fact that... And also, we forgot to mention that the kid told Godai that the porcupine told him that he was doing it. After
Ichijo says, you know, if it's going to be fine, you can go to sleep. We've got you. And then he says specifically, yeah.
Porcupine told me that he was doing it this way because he thought it was fun that we were scared.
Yeah, it was more fun to be scared.
Yeah.
So he's just doling out some justice here in a very, like, but yeah, so he's sitting there quiet because a part of him died there. That's the thing. we're witnessing Godai give up a core value in this moment.
Yeah, because he killed the Grungi out of anger.
Yeah, it wasn't that he did it out of duty. It's like, this was personal.
He didn't do it to, well, the thing is like, he didn't do it to save future lives.
Mm-hmm.
He did it to avenge past lives.
Yeah.
Which is a different, like, the end result is the same, but it's a different motivation.
Right. I don't even know if the end result's the same, because the beatdown was a lot more brutal.
Yeah. The guy died in the end, but yeah.
But, so while we see the scene of him standing there, then we see kids just being like, yay!
Because we built a little castle.
And then the cops arrive, and they're just staring at Godai, staring at the water.
Yep.
And it ends.
Yeah, but the symbol that comes up is, I think, gray or silver. So it's the, because they do color coding for, like, the forms.
Mm.
And this one, I think, is for his ultimate form.
Okay.
I think I know what your suck is.
I actually have a few. But the one, yeah, so I'll start with the one that I said they were going to talk about in the sucks, and then I'll let you say one, and then if it's one of the other ones I was talking about, then I'll continue with the ones I got. So, they know where he's going.
Exactly.
Why are you chasing this idiot through the hallways? You guys are stupid. You're being stupid. Especially the fourth time that he's led you back and forth along the same thing with these snaps. You know where he's headed. Just go to the damn kid's room.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is they're like, Godai's there, we're good.
Yeah.
Our toughest gun is there, and hopefully we can get him before he gets there.
Right, right. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, they've done so well with the cops up to this point, and then now they're like...
Yeah, why does every single cop have to be chasing him?
Yeah.
Why can't those cops, and why can't Ichijo be back at the room?
Right.
Why can't,
it's really one of those, hey, let's make a network and you know, call out, that kind of thing. Or something.
The only thing I could think of is that he's been going all over the building, and he's actually been purposely dragging them all over the place. And he does make it look like you're just about to get him.
Right.
You're always just about to get
him. Yeah, like you see a glimpse or a shadow. The snap sounded like it was just around the corner. And yeah. I'm sure it's more of a limitation on how you could shoot that scene. Like, I'm sure it was like he's doing a lot more than what we're like looking at. It's not like he just goes snaps his fingers at the bottom of a staircase and the top of a staircase to watch him run up and down it.
Yeah,
you know. But I was just like, come on, guys, stop chasing. You know, yeah. Just go yeah. to where he's going.
Yeah. So my suck is like the weird, like, I get it, but the fact of the matter is like, I'm okay with the kid's storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine. It's like some kids making up. You're like, fine, whatever. But the fact of the matter is like, that is so different from what they're trying to it's a different storyline that's filmed as if it's a parallel storyline.
Dude, yeah, so that's actually my third suck. That was the, I want to see if this is yours, because.
Yeah,
because
it's like,
it's a really weird message.
So if this, the kid's storyline would have gone better being intercut between Godai having problems working with the police.
Yeah, this would have been this could have been done at any time. Like, it's
if there's a scene where if there's an episode where like Godai and Nichijou are having a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And it's like showing the difference about how adults deal with it and the kids deal with it. Yeah. Stuff like that. But no, it's like a vicious beatdown beating up with like two friends making up.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we did it. No, the best I can come up with. Because I've been thinking about this, man, because it's so different, completely different. It's disconnected in almost every way. The best that I can come up with is that he loved going to the preschool and performing for the kids, and, you know, he should be there now, but instead he's over here brutally murdering, you know, rightfully, I mean,
yeah.
dealing out justice to the Grungy, but, he didn't want this to be his life, and then now he's, like, losing himself in this fight.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's so many other ways to
there's so many other ways like
convey
maybe
that
like,
message if that's what the message is.
There is like a thing. I don't remember the story, the blue Oni and the red Oni story, because they had in the background one of the scenes the red Oni.
Yeah, the red Oni was when he was putting the toys away.
Yeah.
Every time it cut to the sister.
And I always think about the black dog, white dog story.
Yeah.
And like the kids were like the mean kid was like had the black dog, white dog, and like if the moody kid like fed the white dog by like acting like he's the one he wanted, mm-hmm. and like Godai is like feeding the black dog of his soul and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like still, yeah. it's like that's really reaching for
it. Is yeah. It's like if you have to try that hard to make it work, then it's like something didn't get
yeah.
filmed correctly.
I mean,
or cut
the editing wise and all that stuff. Like if it wasn't for the fact that those scenes have different goals, like it actually was filmed well.
Because I guess there could also be a case to be made that that's being shown with the brutality to remind that it's like, but being friends is good, kids. Let's
yeah, it's just
stick
like,
together and let's not fight. Let's make
like,
up.
Dude, we need something a little lighter in this episode, buddy. Yeah.
So no. While he's brutally murdering somebody for revenge, these kids are making up without punching each other. How great is that?
Somebody's just told him, not Isakawa, hey, you remember this show's for kids, right?
You're right.
I gotta put something in there.
Yeah. He's like halfway through snorting a rail of coke. Like, oh, you're right. Okay.
So what is your other suck?
So the other suck is that I don't know if you noticed, there was no police tape or nobody guarding the crime scene.
Oh yeah.
34 dead bodies and gore just everywhere in the middle of a rainstorm, and like a hobo could just like kind of wander in. Like
they might have passed it earlier.
Yeah, I'm like pretending myself there's like a big wide cordon off area.
Yeah.
And like maybe like patrols like walking around it.
Yeah.
But you'd think there'd be like at least one guy
at the door. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like just out of the smell like radius.
Yeah. What is your Segoy?
The rage, the brutal beatdown. Emotion's a good title for this.
Yeah.
Because if it was titled Rage, it'd be too obvious. And I think we've had Rage before. Or if not, it's just another one of those moments where you think it's like the perfect title. But dude, like once he started wailing into him, I'm like, nice. Okay. Good. 5-6 hits. 7. 35.
Yes, just keep going and going.
Yeah, one punch for every dead child. And like one hard punch. Blood's like splurting out and it keeps going. And I'm like, dude, yeah. And then he gets on the bike and I was like, okay, now you're kind of going overboard with it. But then once he got to the lake, I'm like, oh, of course. You don't want to blow up and kill all the cops.
Yes, you're like, oh, yeah. It could take out a city block. You know, we got to do something.
And I just loved him, like, weakly trying to stab him and working and just desperately throwing the spikes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The Terminator's coming for your ass and then slicing him up. Like, it shows Like, it's sad that Godai's gone this far.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sad for Godai, but I'm happy to see...
You're happy for the story, you're sad for the character.
Right. Which is probably the best thing, right?
Yeah. Like
it just shows how well it was done. But I'm happy to see this creature kind of get put in the shoes of his last 90 victims, yeah. Right? It's like, yeah, you actually, for once, the punishment, I don't know if it fit the crime, but you get my point. Like,
yeah.
At least it wasn't just they got off scot-free and had a good time and were laughing as they were blowing up or some bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Segoy is, I really like when they do this where they have like a, which is funny because they did this in Double too, where they have like a hint at the ultimate form.
Mm.
Like, this has always been what you should have been going towards.
Yeah.
Like, in Double, it's like, obviously, this is what Extreme was, kind of what you should have been from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
But you had to work your way up to it.
Yeah, you had to earn it.
And like, that's the same thing with the ultimate form. He's like seeing it in the thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is actually where it's going. This is where it's always been going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not like you just tripped over your ultimate.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a MacGuffin you had to collect. It was.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
Sometimes. I'm not saying there's no place for that. I'm just saying that it does feel nice when it's like a. Staring you in the face all the time. So, like you were saying, with Double, it was earned, and it's almost obvious.
Yeah, when it happened, you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like it makes so much sense. You're like, oh, duh.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the two of them, and like he's the body, and it's like the two of them, and then the mid-season is like the other one's the body, and then obviously it's the two of them together. It makes total sense.
fully won. Yeah. And I do want to – actually, I want to double down on My Segoy for just a second because I forgot to mention that this is like the only show that this is going to happen. Like I don't see it happening on 71. I don't see it happening on Double. Definitely not going to happen. I mean, maybe 01, but that was like with the Berserk form.
Yeah.
It's a totally different thing. Like in this case, like with the Berserk form, no matter what he does in the Berserk form, it could be like it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Right? So him going like all the way brutal with this.
That was Godai's choice to do that.
Yeah. And so it's almost not heroic, I guess. I mean, it's not the heroic way to dispatch your enemy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not going to get that from the other in the block anyway. I'm sure like later series of the Heisei Phase 1 is going to have similar things. But of what I've seen.
In this rotation, yeah, this is the only time.
And
it
even with some of our current common.
Yeah.
Like Saber, you know. Keeping up with that, it's like not the flavor of Kamen Rider these days.
Yeah, it's not the common, it's not the thread of Kamen Rider now. Yeah. It's not that.
Yeah. So, it's just nice to see it.
Yeah.
But
so now, Rider ranking.
Yes.
And so right now, Kuga is below Nigo.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically said we had to be more fluid, so I'm thinking he's going to be above Nigo.
Yeah, no, there's rookie numbers. Got to get those numbers up.
Yeah.
I like that he didn't forget the kids. Like, and he had downtime, so it's not like he sacrificed... time on the investigation or some crap. You know, it's not like he was riding to get to a location and pulled over and hit up a payphone just to be like, hey, sorry, I couldn't be there to give the kids a magic show. I'm out saving the world.
Yeah.
It's literally like, okay, I guess all we can do is wait. Now I'll give them the call.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's nice, I guess, seeing people be human.
Yeah.
Like, he does it. Like, up to this point, it's almost like he's kind of a cartoon character as far as.
He's
too good for this world, you know?
This is like one of those first times you've seen the crack in his armor. It happens every once in a while where he becomes like a real person. Well, like, that's so hard. First off, he's a fictional character. But Yusuke has a face he's put on so long that it is him.
Yes, yes.
And that's the story of Yusuke. He's been the happy guy for so long that he actually is now.
Mm-hmm.
But like every once in a while he cracks back to being a normal person.
Right. I mean, it's weird saying this. I like a little bit of tragedy in my heroes. It is what it is. But like it's almost like he should lose points for the brutal beatdown, but at the same time it's like
So it would. I think it would if it would have been like for something that wasn't 90 kids being
sure.
Killed.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Is that it feels like
Yusuke, but it humanizes. It actually makes him more human, which raises him in a ranking.
Right. And it's like I don't see other Kamen Rider, at least in this block, kind of. I guess what I'm saying is that if I was a parent of one of the children that died, and I just happened to see the video footage of that epic beatdown, I'd probably feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
versus like in other Kamen Rider, it's like, I understand your pain, and then slice him down. And you're like, the hell? What about my pain?
You know?
Or just, I mean, that's the cheesy line that, you know.
Well, to be fair, in the other shows, not as much death happens.
I know. So, yeah.
I mean, like, the enemies aren't causing as much death.
Right. I mean, because we are kind of like comparing different art forms.
Yeah.
As far as how this block goes, like, 71's totally different than Kuga, totally different than Double and 01 as far as the mood, or not the mood, but we've talked about this before.
Yeah. That Double is closer to 01 than Kuga is to Double, and then 71 is to, like, the three real rotation, real rotation is like 71, Kuga, and Double, and then like Double and 01 are really similar. Just because they're like, I almost want to say, it feels weird to say this, but less has happened.
Yeah.
In like the world.
Uh-huh.
In that time frame.
Yeah.
I mean, things, like, a lot's happened, obviously, from 2010 till 2020. But that economy of how, like, the world sees itself has not really changed that much. Because, like, the internet was a thing.
I'll put it to you this way. We have 70s music, we have 80s music, we have 90s music, and we have 2000s music, which is the last 22 years.
Yeah.
Even though music in the early 2000s is nothing like the crap, I'm not saying it's all crap, but like what we're listening to right now in the early 2020s.
Yeah.
They should be different. 2000, 2010s, 2020s. Yeah. It should be three separate different decades of music, all lumped into one. Perfect example of how the world sees itself.
Yes. I think that's just it's the internet.
Yeah, it is.
So the internet has gotten faster and better and all this stuff, but it's still the same internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the difference between 2000 and 2010 was the internet, which made the whole world different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's like, you know, I'm not saying, again, we're always saying they're not bad shows. They're different shows.
Yeah, different shows.
But they have like the same, not even in the same feel in a way, but just like, it's like you can't, it's like really hard to say like what they have in common because their tone's different, their feel is different.
Right.
But you look at them, you're like, these are both Kamen Rider shows.
Yeah.
They're era appropriate or whatever in a way.
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess the reason why I bring up that context, because this is a bold move, Cotton. This is a bold move. But I don't see, okay. So like, let's say there's not many characters that we can swap in scenes and make it work. But let's just say we had Excel in this scene. And he's not constrained by the morals of Double, the series.
Yeah.
Do you think Excel would go this far?
Oh, of killing?
Yeah. Early Excel. Yeah.
Early, like, Excel, right. Totally would.
Especially with the doling out justice.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is, even though, like, Yusuke's losing here morally, like, personally, he's lost. But this is going to lead to, like, a big development for him.
Yeah,
this is great for the show.
Yeah. So the thing is like, this improves... The same actions improve Yusuke's character that hurt Ryu's character.
Uh-huh.
So, I do, like, are you vying for over XL?
For a short period. I'm thinking if it's
the thing is, like, I don't think he's over XL, but he's also below 01, so I think he is above 01.
For now, I won't say.
So that would be jumping two spots.
Because it's a big, because he could have very easily held on to... a core value, like, yeah. We've seen it before. It's where it's like, no, I just can't do this. I can't go that far, even though,
yeah,
like, the situation needs it. It's like, even though him going above himself in this case or below himself, whatever, it's like,
actually, so you know what? I will go above Excel because I know what the next episodes are.
Oh, okay.
Of Double.
You're like, okay, yeah, all right. Well, yeah,
because I'm like, this is meta knowledge and this is meta me knowledge in my own list, but I'm just like, Excel's gonna earn some of that back. I can tell you that.
But yeah, I'm just saying, like, I can see it working the same for either character in this situation. Like, if Ryu had a connection to this case and then had the opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think he's earned enough to go above Double.
Yeah, it's so hard to say. Yeah,
because I mean, dude.
Maybe after the emotional rebound and...
I mean, there's so much that, like, Shotaro has done
mm-hmm.
to, like, build up that character.
Yeah.
And, like, how much Philip has changed. It's just like, dude, it's like so much. I mean, it is. It's two against one. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, it's hard to compare.
It is.
It's like an almost unfair comparison. It's kind of like, you know, with Revice, it's just like, you got two characters.
See, that one's a little bit more fair because, you know,
It's a little bit more fair because vice is a negative component to that scenario.
Generally, yeah.
Whereas yeah. in devil, it's two positives.
Right, because if Iki's doing bad, vice is doing good, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
So it's like it's not very often that they're both making pluses or both making minuses. Whereas with double, they could both have a bad day or they could both have a really, really good day.
Yeah.
And then that's a lot of points, man.
Like, I'm sure in revice later on, that'll be how it is.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, so I'll put Kuga in 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's double in 1, Kuga in 2, XL in 3, 0-1 in 4, Nigo in 5, Vulcan in 6, Valkyrie in 7, and Ichigo in 8.
Yeah.
And so the next episode of Kuga is Complication. And do you watch the next time on?
Oh, the previews for... No, I do it for 0-1 up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to stick to it since that's... Because we've done it for, 35 episodes that way. I figure I can last a little longer.
Yeah.
15 more, so 60, roughly.
Yeah. But our next episode, we've been the Kamen Rider Double in the episode called Beyond the R, The Rain Called Monster Approaches.
Hmm.
And so these are the end...
Yeah, we're in the end game for most of these.
Yeah. And R is one of the R's is Ryu.
Ryu and Rain. Yeah. Is there 3 or just 2 this time?
There's 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ryu, Rain, and something.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. That'll be our next episode. I've been Aaron.
I'm Eugene.
We'll see you next time.